This episode is brought to you in part by Manicure Magazine. This is my brand new printed magazine that I created, which contains personal anecdotes and information for what works, what doesn't work, and why. It's also another fun way to support you along your journey. So if you'd like a limited edition autographed hard copy shipped to you, go to www.manicuremagazine.com/order. If you'd like to serve as a pickup location for the magazine, no matter your location, you can sign up at manicuremagazine.com/locations. You can find the comprehensive list of current pickup locations around Louisiana, Austin, Texas, and 38 Florida at manicuremagazine.com/locations. If you own a business and would like to advertise in the upcoming issue, or if you'd like to purchase a gift card to support a small business in gifting them an advertising space with us, please visit manicuremagazine.com or email info@manicuremagazine.com. You can also follow us on Instagram at manicure.magazineofficial for updates and more information. And lastly, before we start the show, this episode is brought to you in part by Raw Republic Juice, located on Magazine Street in New Orleans and on North Lamar Boulevard in Austin, Texas. Go get the Dr. Carter's Thyroid Juice, which is a recipe I co-created with the owner, Sheena Menina, who is the host of this episode today. It's a pineapple-based drink with coconut water, aloe, rosemary, and ginger. It's refreshing, balancing, hydrating, and fun to use as a mixer as well. Raw Republic also offers corporate wholesale accounts as well, so if you'd like to have them delivered to your office space for your employees, or if you're interested in carrying their juice in your restaurant, hotel, gym, or business, contact Evan at rawrepublicjuice.com. That's E-V-A-N at rawrepublicjuice.com. Make sure to stay tuned throughout the episode for exclusive discount codes. Thank you so much for listening and for your support, and I really hope you enjoy this episode. This is the Ask Amberly Show.
Welcome to the Ask Amberly Show, where everybody's the host. I'm the host today, Sheena Menina. Yes, that's my real name.
Thank you for having me.
That's pretty cool. I like this setup.
Yeah, this is like a blast from the past from Raw Talk with Sheena.
Yeah.
Where you'd always have me on the question stand.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's what I do for every episode. I have someone else.
Yeah.
So I'm more used to interviewing, but you wanted me to prep three questions for you.
Which you never do.
So. I did not do.
I already knew that was going to happen.
So let me think for a second. Well, I just got finished reading the Manicure magazine.
Oh, yeah.
I read all the articles. They were amazing. Mm-hmm. So I think, let's say my questions will be poised based on some of those articles. So like what I found mm-hmm. most interesting was the article about vitamin D.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
That was like a big heavy hitter.
Yeah.
I liked that a lot. Mm-hmm. What I noticed about the article was that it included information about supplementation, mm-hmm. but also mindset as it relates to symptoms and reactions of like the input. So like what I was thinking about talking about in mm-hmm. the podcast was like, where are you? How do you differentiate between like what is how to input things to move the needle versus like how to work on mindset, now that you've kind of like you've put mm-hmm. in words what that is like for you?
So yeah, in human terms.
Yeah. Just question. Dissect the question for the audience and then answer it.
Right. Okay. Got it. Okay. So yes, it's a process for supplementation. We all tend to go and take supplements and mindlessly not realize how they're affecting us mentally, and unless it's really loud. So my experience with vitamin D was really loud because I noticed that my thoughts started changing. My intuition shut off mm-hmm. entirely, which was brand new for me. Mm-hmm. I've never had that. I realized that I was always intuitive, even when I was younger. So to not have that intuition partly was freeing at first, because that kind of released me from feeling into other people's wants, needs, desires, yeah. all of that. And it makes you not be a people pleaser as much. So I did like that side effect. So, but with that, I became a little bit more numb, where I wasn't enjoying life as much. I was just kind of like going through the motions, getting tasks done, which made me very efficient, very masculine. And that part I didn't really like. So I like it. If anything, it gave me more gratitude for being a woman, because there is that wonderful blend of the intuition and having a vision and seeing things and creating, and that joie de vivre that you have, that's a little bit more intense than I would say from a masculine energy. And this has nothing to do with gender when I talk about masculine and feminine energy. It's just some people lean more towards masculine energy. Some people lean more towards feminine energy. The masculine is not as creative. It's more destructive. It's more aggressive and task-oriented. And the female energy is very creative and based in being and not doing. So that was a big switch for me. So to your question, I think knowing that that started shifting for me mentally, I was aware as soon as I would take the vitamin D, my thoughts would start shifting. And
so are you not relating this to a cause and effect of hormones as they were input the vitamin D?
So you mean if I'm taking vitamin D, was that affecting my hormones?
Affecting your hormones, thereby affecting,
for sure,
your feelings of like masculine, feminine inclinations.
For sure. Yeah. And people do argue that vitamin D is a hormone more than just a supplement, right? So it did change my, well, I was taking it with cofactors. So the cofactors are boron, vitamin K, magnesium, and vitamin A. I wasn't taking vitamin A with it at the time, but I was taking boron, magnesium, and vitamin K with it. A quick interruption while we're on the topic of vitamin K. Vitamin K works very well in tandem with vitamin D because of its effect on moving calcium. Vitamin K helps to put calcium into hard tissues like bones and teeth, and pulls it out of soft tissues like arteries and glands that help prevent arterial calcification, osteoporosis, dental cavities, and other issues. My favorite brand, which I personally use and have seen the best results with, is MitoLife Purely K. They also have a great magnesium option called MAG-ATP, which can serve as a great cofactor with vitamin D as well. Go to MitoLife.com and use my code Dr. Carter for a discount. MitoLife.com. To read the full article that Sheena is referring to, called The Big D, you can go to manicuremagazine.com/summer2024. Now, back to the show. The boron mixed with the vitamin D raises free testosterone.
Okay.
So that's what was going on with me. But I didn't know that until I researched furiously because, like I said in the magazine, I gave myself male pattern baldness.
Yeah.
Which sounds so ridiculous, but it's true. So my hair started falling out in gobs. I just didn't know what was happening. And with combine that with the mental aspect of just feeling more cut off from everything and shut down and not as feminine, I think that was an indicator for me to go look at male hormones versus female hormones. And that when I really researched the effects of boron and vitamin D combined, that raising of the free testosterone was the effect that I realized, okay, that's what's causing the hair loss and me feeling more like a man at the end of the day, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that was the indicator for me, was I was noticing the symptoms. And so that made me go research. But if people don't have that
ability,
Mm-hmm. Or even the recognition that that's what's happening with them, or like correlating, I took vitamin D and now I feel this way.
Yeah.
Where I've been guilty of this before, I mindlessly will take supplements and just be like, okay, well, this says that this is good, or this research study or this person that I trust said that this is good for this ailment or this thing or whatever. So you expect the supplement to react that way in your body every time, and it doesn't.
Right.
So
how possibly could it? Because we have an infinite number of factors that affect the way that we feel, the way that we look, everything about us. How could one person's experience of a supplement be another person's experience of a supplement?
Right. It's merely impossible. Yeah. Because yeah. supplements are placeholders for frequency.
Right.
So they hold a specific energy that, given the certain environment, just like people,
right,
given the environment, it will react a certain way. Right. So given the environment of what your body's state is in that moment when you take that vitamin or supplement, that's how it will react. It'll bring out those properties in mm-hmm. the supplement. So if everyone takes vitamin D, not everyone's going to have male pattern baldness if they take vitamin D with boron. I was reacting to it, and this is where the mental component comes in. My belief system was so strongly polarized in one direction, and that's why my body reacted.
Your belief system was what?
So it's nuanced. It's not just one belief. It's everywhere. It's in my family line. I could feel this is a belief that my grandmother had, my mom had, you know, all the women in my family line had about a woman's place in a man's world, especially mm-hmm. when it came to business and survival and renovating a house and all those things. Like, who is a woman to do those things? It was a very archaic belief. I could feel it, but it's in my family line from generations ago. And that's still palpable for me. Mm-hmm. And it runs subconsciously in me that then affects all of my behaviors, and I'm not realizing it. So for me, feeling more insecure about renovating a house that's on a family property, or, you know, did I deserve that property inheritance? Mm-hmm. You know, did I earn it? Did I work hard for it? Where a man wouldn't question it. Like, my brother wouldn't think twice about it. He would take it and be like, it's my asset now. Mm-hmm. You know, it's so, I was going through a lot of emotional turmoil inside, and the vitamin D brought that up to the surface to be looked at. Mm-hmm. That's why my hair started reacting and falling out. Hair, I think, is personal power. That's what I think hair represents. And I felt powerless in a lot of areas in my life at that moment when I was taking the vitamin D, and the vitamin D just brought it to the surface to be healed, mm-hmm. to be looked at. So the vitamin D itself is not, you know, it shouldn't be demonized. It did exactly what it needed to do.
Yeah.
It's just that I needed to change the belief system that it was bringing to the surface so I could look at it, target it, recognize it, and then use my tools to shift it mentally. And then the vitamin D can work in a different way now. So you're always in relationship to everything. So it's just paying attention to that dance.
Okay. So what you were saying is that you're in resistance to what, to the balance that vitamin D could have provided at that time. So because you were in resistance to it, it was causing some chaos.
I think vitamin D, so say that vitamin D and boron, that combination raises free testosterone. That might help some women feel amazing, have their sex drive back, have, you know, more of a vigor for life. For me, it went the opposite way.
But do you think it's because you were in resistance to what that would have?
Yes.
Like, to that format in your body?
Yes. I was resistant to
balance
the testosterone. Way. Right. The mm-hmm. testosterone coming to the surface. I was resistant to, and also me being intuitive and, you know, love all the creative energy that flows through me in a very, you know, feminine way. The masculine side, I was like, ugh. I was like nauseous about it. Mm-hmm. I didn't want that to be balanced because I liked being that creative, whatever. But also, we live in a Western culture that is masculine dominant with business, and I have to get tasks done. I have to be efficient. Yes. I have to
totally
not
feel that.
Get in my head, right? Mm-hmm. So, but if you're too feminine about business, you're never going to get anything done because you're constantly going to keep editing things or creating things and not actually sticking with it and following through with it to fruition.
Yeah.
And that was my biggest downfall, having that imbalance hormonally where I didn't have enough testosterone in some ways.
Mm, so interesting. So where do you land with the vitamin D and those supplements now?
now I don't react as badly because I changed the belief.
Yeah.
So I
and do you feel like you need it?
No. So that's the thing. Some of the effects from the vitamin D have been permanent. Even when I got off of vitamin D mm-hmm. for months, there are some effects that I have that are permanent. Like my sleep is so much deeper now, like so deep, mm-hmm. and that hasn't changed.
That's awesome.
Which is crazy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So there are some things that when you get enough of something, and I blasted myself with it yeah. for a while, I was like, show me what's going on.
Yeah.
It can turn on and off genes. So it's almost like you get to a threshold and then something switches and then that's, you know, mm-hmm. quote unquote permanent. Yeah. Now, if I experience more trauma or something highly stressful, that can turn back off,
yeah.
you know, or vice versa. Something can turn off that has been wreaking havoc, like a mutation.
Yeah.
That's been on from trauma and it can turn off from some supplementation that can finally
like remind the body how it's supposed to work essentially.
Yeah, essentially. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's kind of what I was thinking. That's how like I would interpret it in my brain. Like if you give the body all of the things that it needs to just do it naturally, like mm-hmm. potentially it learns how to do that.
Yeah.
And remembers, like you're saying. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. It in theory that's how it's supposed to work, but if you have all kinds of beliefs, and that's why I think that was the biggest key for me was the belief system. And no one's talking about that part of it. And it's so crucial because otherwise I would have just said, okay, I'm not having vitamin D for the rest of my life. But I know that that would be good for me. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't just like go the rest of your life without having vitamin D. That's an essential nutrient for mm-hmm. so many biological processes in the body. So I know I need that, but if I can't take it, like the practitioner that I'm working with, I'm like, oh my God, my hair's falling out. Like, what do I do? And they're like, well, just get off of it. And I'm like, but you just told me like how essential this is for my whole body.
Yeah.
So like, you don't have the answer. Like, what do I do? So I was just stuck between a rock and a hard place. I'm like, okay, you know what to do. Like, just start working on the energy and the beliefs and all of that stuff. But I fell out of, I guess I would say I almost stopped believing in what I did.
Yeah.
When I was masculine, because I was like, well, that's frou-frou. That doesn't make any sense. Like A plus B equals C. I was so masculine mindset of just facts and figures.
That you couldn't see this aspect of it. Is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Well, this aspect of it is basically your practice because it's mm-hmm. what you study and have studied for the past 10 years.
Yeah.
This metaphysical aspect to the physical, biological beings that we are. It's mm-hmm. that layer. Right. And it's interpreting it so that people can understand it to mm-hmm. some extent or to begin to evolve their level of understanding of their body beyond the physical, beyond the tests, beyond practitioners.
Right.
So my next question was about, you've also studied yet another like practical physical tool, which is genetic testing.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, how do we layer your explanation of how you sort of came to terms with what the vitamin D did for you and what it didn't and what it exposed. But so like, say someone's doing the genetic testing and they're getting that information of like, you need the D.
Mm-hmm.
So how is that layered with what you've just been talking about?
Yeah, no,
that
that's
education.
That's a really good question because so often if something is quote unquote diagnosing you or setting a tone or even down to if you're human design, even yeah. that, you know, or a horoscope or your astrological sign, you can lock yourself in to that thing because you're like, oh, I identify with this so much or that makes sense.
I do identify with being a manifestor quite deeply.
You do. Very much so.
Just because it resonates.
Yeah, yeah.
But just side note.
Yeah, well, exactly. But it shouldn't be an excuse as to why you don't act like a projector some days, right? So like if you need to rest. It's not like, well, I'm a manifestor. I can just keep going.
Yeah.
You know? So that's when it gets tricky because so often we can lean into victimization of some kind of label or diagnosis. And that's the downhill slope that we can get involved with. So for genetics, if somebody says like, okay, these are your genetic mutations, what I've learned is it's only a propensity for those things to wreak havoc in your body or react or not react. Now, not all genetics works that way. Obviously, if you have an extra chromosome, that's, you know, Down syndrome, and that's a whole nother ball game. So, but this talking about genetic mutations that affect your body, your metabolism, like MTHFR,
yeah,
those things, those genetic mutations that people can say, oh, I'm, you know, that means my liver only works like 20% of, yeah, you know, what it's supposed to work. Yes. But the caveat to that is that you can have, you know, you and your sister, say, could have the same genetic mutation. Your metabolism might work totally fine. It's not a guarantee that you're not detoxing perfectly, mm-hmm, fine.
Yeah.
So your sister could be expressing that genetic mutation physically in the real world. She could be reacting to everything in her environment, not being able to detox anything, not being able to eat foods, like just so many different things that go around or go under the umbrella of what an MTHFR,
yeah,
genetic mutation would look, mm-hmm, like.
Because like my guess is that like if you are nourishing that 20%, 100%, mm-hmm, then maybe, and that, I think that's the argument of doing genetic testing, is like, how do you maximize that 20% if like that's the card that, those are the cards that you were dealt.
Right. But the mental component is such a big deal.
Yeah.
And I think that's the missing, yeah, piece, because yes, you can pound yourself with all these nutrients. Like for instance, the vitamin D situation with, yeah, me. I was pounding that vitamin D and I'm like, oh, and, you know, I'm reacting. Oh, it's because I have this genetic mutation for vitamin D and I'm not used to absorbing it and all those things. All of that might be true. But if that is true and that has been dormant since I was born, and now that I have a highly absorbable version of vitamin D that now is turning on those processes that vitamin D is responsible for, and I've just compensated my whole life, mm-hmm, for those, you know, inadequacies. Now things are turning on and I don't know what that's going to affect my reality. I don't know how to handle reality with, yeah, those things turned on.
Right.
So
you'll either do one or two things, mm-hmm, as that person that's supplementing. You'll either be like, this is what I've always needed and looked for and wanted. And, mm-hmm, or you'll say like, you'll pump the brakes, like,
right,
energetically and physically, and just say like, oh shit, like I wasn't prepared for this. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't like this.
Right.
But maybe like there is some balance of needing it, but needing to come to terms with what it means for balance, like you said, you're used to sort of like this imbalanced reality, mm-hmm, but the balanced reality might work better for you.
Right.
But you have to be prepped in some way and like in congruence with that balance in some way.
Exactly.
So you just like, what you're saying is you mentally talked yourself into accepting, yes, it.
I faced the wall west upside down on my head and chanted.
No, but you did. You,
but it
did,
sounds like that.
You did, yeah, basically just mentally talk yourself through the loop of,
yeah,
being caught in that.
Yeah.
Which a lot of times I feel like that is how we resolve things, mm-hmm, but it can also be how we remain in things.
Yeah.
So like my third question.
Yes.
How do you work on mental, emotional, spiritual work by yourself effectively without being in a vacuum or like an echo chamber with yourself? Or do you, yeah, suggest like working with other people?
I think you have to work with both poles. So what I mean by that is if you're on one end of the pole, like a battery, it's positive and negative on both ends of the battery. If you're only on the positive and you're intolerant of the negative, everything that feels good in the positive realm, like you're going to be attracted to certain supplements and vitamins, whatever. I have never been attracted to taking vitamin D, iron, vitamin E, and
K.
Yeah, K. But that's not to say that I don't need that. I was resistant to it. I was judging it. I was like, I don't need that. I don't need it. I don't need it. And what I did was, obviously there's something there that I don't want to look at or I don't want to experience, mm-hmm. that maybe taking those things are going to bring up for me to look at. Mm-hmm. So if you're on one pole, what I worked with is integrating the opposite pole. So I was willing to go to the worst case scenario or the thing that I judged or the thing that triggered me, mm-hmm. or so I think when I was willing to see both poles is because nature seeks balance. Mm-hmm. So it brought me to that center point when I was willing to work with both poles. Now that's not to say I am doing all the work on my own.
Yeah.
But I'm using people, which sounds bad, but everyone's using their reality, yeah. for reflection to see what's going on inside of themselves. So it is working with other practitioners or different supplements or having different experiences.
Or different information.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I think if you're resistant to a certain level of information or a certain practitioner, or kind of ask yourself or pay attention to, why is that? What is it that's triggering me so badly? Or what is it that I don't want to hear or don't want to look at or I'm intolerant towards? And when what I did was, if I was that thing or that person or that practitioner or that idea or that realm that I don't like, would I fully love and accept myself if I was that thing? And the answer is always no. And that's cutting off half of your power as a human being, because nature seeks balance and you're both sides of the coin. The whole coin is positive and negative, mm-hmm. heads and tails. Mm-hmm. That's the world we live in. That is just one of the facts, yeah. of the world. So if you're only the heads or only the positive or only this thing over here, what you're doing is, not only are you polarizing to one end of the spectrum, you're attracting the opposite, mm-hmm. because nature seeks balance. You have to find that balance point. So until you integrate that negative side of it or that underbelly of it, it's going to keep repeating itself over and over again.
And also the negative side, you're using the word negative.
Right.
It's just the opposite. It's not necessarily the bad side. Right. It's just the opposite.
Right. Well, negative's not always bad.
Right.
So like negative, I'm using positive and negative almost like ions, like just positively charged ions, yeah. and negatively charged ions. But you need, like, one of the best things for the human body is negative ions, actually, right. not positive ions. So the words in and of itself is just to explain poles, like a plus sign and a minus sign. And a minus sign. It's not to explain good or bad.
Right.
So in reality, all of it's neutral.
So if someone has an ability to really see that within themselves, mm-hmm. then the answer is that they can work with this on their own.
Yeah, they can work with it on their
own.
But
a lot of people are sometimes not willing to say, you know, my perspective is limited or this other side could be right. Or mm-hmm. like, so it does take like a disciplined mind and a focused mind and an open-minded mind, mm-hmm. to be able to resolve some of this alone, which is why it's helpful to work with people like you.
Yeah.
Who are like a little more unaffected by the yeah. words. Certainly, you're certainly not going to be as affected by the words and the realities that someone is in the middle of dealing with.
Right.
So you're able to just be like a neutral playing ground where you can bring up those things that you see are the opposition, mm-hmm. so that they can potentially integrate them.
Right.
And your knowledge of the physical and the biological and the chemical in conjunction with that can bring people a lot of balance and mm-hmm. resolve, let's hope.
Yeah. Yeah. Fingers crossed. We're all on a prayer here. No. Well, okay. Thank you for saying that. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a really good way of saying it. I like that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So those were the three questions.
Those were great questions. I love them. I knew you were going to pull through.
Always do.
I know you do. Okay. So we have three audience questions.
Okay.
So this one, actually, you're going to help me answer all of these, but okay. This one I think is a really good one for you in particular to answer. Someone asked, challenges of running your own business, to talk about that.
We don't have enough time.
I know. That was, I think the challenge of running my own business is that you have to do everything. Like your own best like marketer, your own best PR person, your accountant, and yes, you hire those people out eventually, but it's finding that balance of supporting yourself and your business, and also realizing that your business is a separate entity from yourself. I think I had a really hard time with that personally, especially because what I do for a business before the magazine and before the podcast, me as a practitioner, I am selling myself basically. Mm-hmm. So I had a really hard time coming down from my day. It was just like, well, this is my life. It's not work. It's my life. Mm-hmm. And more recently I've tried to disassociate with that. Like it's what I do for work, but then I can go out and play and have fun and do what I want. You know, what about you?
Again, we don't have enough time, but from my personal perspective, if I have to answer it singularly, the hardest aspect of having your own business is getting paid.
Yes. So true. So true. That's such a good, nailed it.
There are many layers to that.
Yeah. Good luck, everyone.
Yeah.
Okay. The other question, which I think we kind of already touched on, was how to shift a health ailment, which I did talk about, the mental component of it and working with those beliefs.
I really liked what you said about like finding the opposition.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes sickness, illness, like imbalance can just like bring that opportunity to look at those things. Because you ask yourself, what am I not seeing? Like, I think people have to now think beyond, you know, but I've been eating all the right things and I've been exercising for 20 years. Like, okay, there are other elements to life. So I think that I think you addressed that really well earlier.
Yeah, I think it is true. I see so many people who eat perfectly and exercise perfectly and do all the right things in their blood work and they feel like shit.
Yeah.
And there's so much other stuff going on mentally, emotionally, that is the driver behind everything that's going on in your environment inside of your body. So, and then there are other people who are eating whatever they want, enjoying life, just doing, you know, God knows what, and their blood work comes back and it's perfect and they feel amazing.
Yeah.
And it's like, what's going on, you know? So I think how to shift a health ailment, look at the mental component and work with a practitioner who can help you figure out what those components are, because if you're in it, it's kind of like the goldfish in the bowl. Like,
yeah, you can't see all.
You have blind spots.
I'd also say that, you know, we've said that there are so many aspects beyond eating right and exercising, and that for some people can feel overwhelming, like, oh my God, I have to learn and look at like this entire world that I'm not used to.
Yeah.
I would say to have the perspective of curiosity and intrigue about this life and your existence and what you're curious about, and like fold that into what your healing journey looks like.
Yeah.
Because it will just make it more of like a positive journey.
Yes.
Than like, oh my God, I have to do all this stuff or else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that's such a good, I'm so glad you said that. It's true. Because if you mentally feel like you're supposed to be doing something, that's one of the worst feelings ever. Because then shame is the lowest frequency on the planet. So if you're feeling shameful this whole time, like you're not doing it right, or you're going to get it wrong, or you're not doing enough, that's going to wreak havoc, especially when people are dieting, or, you know, there's so much shame in that of, well, I ate a cookie and I wasn't supposed to. And then the punishment and all of that, that wreaks more havoc than just eating the cookie, enjoying it, moving on.
Yeah.
So, mental components are a huge factor with health ailments.
Yeah.
And then the last question is how to manifest.
Also a layered question.
Yes. Very much so.
For me, I don't take this question lightly, because I think a lot of the verbiage and language around manifestation has been like, think it and it will happen. And that's like a very overwhelming feeling, especially when you're a parent.
Yes.
We have really dark thoughts. We have thoughts that like are just our brain processing risk outside of our body.
Yeah.
To think that if we think something like that, that will manifest to mm-hmm. me is pretty, that diminishes the happiness of my life. So what I try to do in terms of manifestation is really a little bit more grounded now. Mm-hmm. It's more about taking small steps and small action steps toward just something that I'm interested in or like, or want to do. Yeah. And sometimes that does look like something that's non-physical. Like maybe I'll just, you know, like I'll shift my brain pattern of the day to try to like be more in alignment with what I'm doing, but I'm not taking it so seriously thinking like this is manifesting my reality. So the grounded aspect feels better to me now. Like it feels better to think, okay, I want to bring some of this like energy, or like say like I really like design. I want to bring design more into my life. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to like, you know, sell something or buy something on Facebook Marketplace, bring it into my space and see how it feels, and like do that a couple of times. Mm-hmm. Like that to me is just expanding my interests, intrigues, curiosities in like a fun and playful way, mm-hmm. versus like feeling like I'm going to sit in meditation for 12 hours and visualize like the perfect design business.
Yeah.
Sometimes that will just naturally happen mm-hmm. as a manifester in human design. Like I'll just naturally sort of get like these visions that I feel like, wow, that's pretty spot on.
Yeah.
And like sometimes those things will, I'll see elements of that in my life, but I don't try to force that to happen.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
What about you?
I think for manifestation, it's, well, I have an awareness that it's all beliefs. So it's not that you're just going to think something and it's going to work and come to fruition. It's that you have to believe whatever it is. Mm-hmm. So if you're struggling with believing something, you can look in the mirror and do positive affirmations all day long. If your belief is, no, I'm not, or I'm not enough, or that's not going to happen, mm-hmm. that is running the show. So no matter what you're saying or thinking, it's your belief. If the belief is strong enough, combined with the thought and the positive affirmation, then you'll see the shift or whatever manifest. But it has to be consistent, I think, too, because so often we'll try something and then it doesn't work and we'll get sheepish and go try something else. Where I think sometimes, and this was an effect from the vitamin D, it was like this boyish way that came in with the free testosterone that elevated my body. It was like, no, I'm just pushing through and just continuing to do this. And then something does manifest from it.
Yeah.
Not anywhere near what my expectation was. But if I just stuck with it and repeated it over and over and over again, the actions informed my nervous system to change my belief.
Yes. And then to be less afraid of it.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. And then when the belief changed from all of those actions that I took, that's when whatever it was that I wanted to manifest will click. So I think the belief
of that
is huge, but utilize things that will help that belief system change. It can be an experience. It could be, I love the train over here. Actually, I do love trains. They're very calming to me. But it could be to change your belief. It could be you go on a vacation or you go interview someone. Yeah. You cold call a company. You take these steps to figure out along the way new and interesting information that will change your belief system. Yes. So you can do it top down or bottom up. There's so many different ways you can change your belief system. It's not just using the tapping solution, or although that's wonderful.
Yeah.
But it's utilizing different things to change your environment, experience, information, knowledge, all of that stuff, reading books, anything like that is going to help inform your nervous system of new things, new frequencies, and then that can change that belief system. And then change your reality.
Love it.
Yay. Thanks, Sheen.
You're welcome, ma'am.
You nailed it.
This is Ask Amberly, where yep. everyone's the host.
It's the Ask Amberly Show, but I like Ask Amberly too.
The Ask Amberly Show.
Yep.
Hosted by Sheena Menina. Yes, it's my real name.
Thank you for having me.
That was so fun.
That was fun. It was good to have the team back.
Woohoo.
Yay. Thank you. I just updated my ebook called The Major Keys to Health. This ebook includes the main tenets that I address in my practice when working with a client, so it serves as wonderful insight into what affects the body, what the body really is at the subatomic level, and how to make those major changes in your body in reality. You can now purchase my ebook, The Major Keys to Health, at www.amberlycarter.com/shop and receive $10 off this ebook when you use the code podcast at checkout. Offer expires September 1st, 2024. And if you'd like to book a private session with me and get an exclusive podcast listener discount, you can go to amberlycarter.com/book and use the code podcast at checkout to get $40 off a phone session. Plus, payment plans are also available to work with me at amberlycarter.com/book to book a session using a payment plan. For updates and more information, you can follow me on Instagram at Dr. Amberly Carter, Dr. period, Amberly Carter. And you can also follow this podcast on Instagram at the Ask Amberly Show podcast. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope you enjoyed this episode.